7%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN to see how far we can lower your mortgage payment. For 6 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year, they also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. This ultra-low rate of 3.5% won't last long. So call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Have you experienced this when buying a used car?
How many miles to the gallon does it get?
About 9 miles.
Is that good?
Sure. I wouldn't walk 9 miles.
Don't buy a used car without a diehard 360 vehicle assessment. You may know a little about cars, but Sears Auto Center knows a lot. For $49.99, you get an unbiased, professional 120-point inspection in a neutral meeting place and a full Carfax report. See stores or SearsAuto.com for details. Get the power of diehard at Sears Auto Centers.
Who says cars have to act their age? Whether your car needs maintenance, repairs, or new tires, now is the perfect time to cross off the things on your car's to-do list. Head to Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Firestone Complete Auto Care. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid November 17th through 20th on any purchase. Most vehicles, in-store installation required. Maximum savings $100. $50 minimum purchase required for tiered offers. See store or driveafirestone.com for full details.
Logano wins his way to Miami.
We got momentum.
Yeah. I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
A can-do attitude can do a lot. And with an extra $20 in your pocket, it can do even more. Thanks to AutoZone Rewards, when you spend $20 five times, you'll earn a $20 reward. It's the easiest way to get rewarded for tackling the jobs on your to-do list. So you can turn those brake jobs, oil jobs, and adding 500 watts of bass to your stereo system jobs into done jobs. Sign up today so you can fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Live sports are the one true reality entertainment, where a single dramatic moment can become timeless. In NASCAR, Motor Racing Network's live broadcasts elevate your senses to the sights, sounds, and struggles taking place on the racetrack.
Keselowski to the bottom of the racetrack. He tries to slide up. Newman is there. Sideways is Keselowski.
The power of radio to the imagination of the listener. Tune in to the Motor Racing Network. Visit MRN.com for an affiliate list in your local area.
2 years ago, Joey Logano narrowly missed a championship at Homestead Miami Speedway. After winning at Phoenix Sunday, he'll run for it again this weekend along with Jimmy Johnson, Carl Edwards, and defending champ Kyle Busch. So how is this year different from the way he felt after Phoenix in 2014?
Immediately nervous right after the race here. This is not that feeling. This is that feeling that, hey, we got confidence. I know we can do it. I don't feel like it's a long shot like it was last time. It was my first time there and race for a championship. You know, oh my God, what's going to happen? This time I feel like we've been here before. You know, we've been in these situations.
Logano's spotter Tab Boyd is a guest on Motorsports Monday. Catch it on YouTube or at MRN.com. And Logano himself will be a guest on NASCAR Live Tuesday night at 7 Eastern. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
He goes to Iowa City to convince college girls he's Jonathan Taves. Trust me, they don't know the difference. Tyler Ryder in the APC on KGYM.
6 minutes into the third and final hour, 6 o'clock hour. We welcome you back to the Afternoon Players Club. KGYM's local frequencies on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gem. I was talking to a lot of you over the weekend, and I'm learning that you guys are big on the North and South Gem. 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, including at KGYMradio.com. My name is Tyler Ryder. You can find me on Twitter, as a lot of you are doing right now, commenting on the spider that hit me in the nose while we were on the air last hour, set to talk to Mac McCausland. At Radio Ryder, my co-host, he's got a Twitter as well. His is pretty simple, at Todd Brommelkamp, the one, the only Todd Brommelkamp. Or you can find our show at APC on KGYM.
Do we know the whereabouts of the spider?
It's dead. It's over here.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. He got one chance, and he failed at his job miserably. And if
he's like the guy that fought Conor McGregor over the weekend.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't remember the guy's name either. I just know he didn't. He wasn't very successful. I'm sure some UFC fans are going to text us in a minute. UFC matters. No. Yeah, really Conor McGregor. He had his, at one point in time, put his hands behind his back, giving him free shots. And then just 2 days after the fight, apparently it's being rumored that the WWE is trying to find some way to get him and what's homegirl's name again?
Ronda Rousey.
Thank you. Onto a WWE platform. So you lose one fight. Relevance in my brain when it comes to the Ultimate Fighting Championship. But good on them, because UFC did something that the Madison Square Garden gates had never seen before. They hauled in, I believe, like over $17 million in sales for that event on Saturday. That's the most that the Garden has ever seen in its history. So the Rangers couldn't do that. Concerts couldn't do that. The Knicks couldn't do that. Dana White brings his promotion to New York City, and it's a hit. So
nobody in the NFC North could do that, at least not with the teams that they're fielding this year. This is just an absolute mess. You've got, I thought, a pretty interesting day of football. And I don't know if you were listening to SportsCenter there at the top of the hour, but maybe it was the fact that the presidential election was going on, and now that it's over, people are looking for other things to watch now. Football, the ratings were up last night for, and maybe it's the fact also that it was the rematch of the Super Bowl 2 years ago between the Patriots and the Seahawks, but the ratings were good last night for that game. The outcome, not so much for the Patriots. Rob Gronkowski reportedly has a punctured lung that he suffered last night, and it's looking like he may miss next week's game. If you had a punctured lung, would you miss one game and return to action?
Deuces.
14 days later?
Give me the I, give me the R.
I think I'd probably be on the shelf for a little bit longer than that. A couple other stories out of the NFL today. Look, Bears fans, never ask yourself how things could get worse. You get thumped yesterday, and not just thumped, throttled, embarrassed by Tampa Bay. Remember when we did the pick six, or not the pick six, the Friday foreplay on Friday at Coach's Corner, Tampa Bay was getting a field goal at Raymond James Stadium against the Bears.
Yeah.
They have no issues. Chris Conte gets in the end zone, says some really nasty things about Chicago and the Bears after the game is over. You got Jay Cutler. The reports out of Chicago are that he's lost the locker room, that his teammates are starting to turn on him. They're openly talking or speculating about Matt Barkley, the former USC quarterback, maybe getting the start for the Bears this coming weekend. Never ask yourself how things could get worse, because today, Alshon Jeffrey gets a 4-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. He's going to miss 4 games. When he comes back, it'll be, I believe, December 12th. The Bears will have 3 games remaining. They are the second worst offensive team points wise in the entire NFL, and they just lost their number one receiver.
I'm going to ask Bears fans, does this PED suspension change your status, change your stance on what the Bears should do with Alshon Jeffrey next year? 319-366-1600. So far this year, he has hauled in 40 catches, one of which has found the end zone. He's going to miss 4 games, as Todd alluded to. He'll come back. He's only going to have 3 games to be able to impress. What do you do? I understand there aren't many options, and you cleared a lot of payroll. Martellus Bennett cleared a lot of payroll, Matt Forte, to make sure that this opportunity to lock up one of the young studs in the National Football League could occur. Is this just a hiccup? Is this just a blimp on the radar that you're willing to look past? It's been a disaster, not only individually for players out there not named Jordan Howard, but it has been for the team in general this year. It looks like that they're a shoe-in for a top-5 pick. Right now, early indications are that the Bears are looking at a quarterback. The question is, do they go Deshaun Kizer? Do they go Deshaun Watson? I know we still have a couple of months before we start talking about the offseason and the Philadelphia NFL draft, but Chicago fans, as Todd alluded to, it's not bad. It's getting worse. 319-366-1600.
And then you've got the Vikings, who are now all of a sudden riding a four-game losing streak after starting 5-0. The Packers cannot get out of their own way. They suffer their own embarrassing loss at the hands of the Tennessee Titans. And it's the Detroit Lions, who are now perched atop the NFC North along with the Minnesota Vikings. The Detroit Lions. The NFC North is just an absolute mess at this point. Who could have seen this coming? We want to hear from you. We know that we've got a lot of Bears fans in the area, certainly Packers fans, Vikings fans, although we haven't heard as much from the Vikings fans over the last 4 weeks as we had at the beginning of the season. This division is anybody's ballgame at this point. Seattle has a commanding lead in the NFC West over the Cardinals. You've got Atlanta on top of the NFC South. And then Dallas, 8-1. Look, they did it again. Ezekiel Elliott carrying the load for the Cowboys as they beat the Steelers. Dallas, 8-1 in the NFC East. And then over in the AFC, you've got the Chiefs and the Raiders, both at 7-2. Broncos are 7-3, so it's a crapshoot there. As a matter of fact, the Broncos and the Chiefs are going to wind up national TV in the coming weeks because the NFL exercised its right to flex out the Patriots and the Jets. The AFC South is still the AFC South. Houston leads at 6-3. AFC North, not exactly pretty. Baltimore on top there, 5-4. And then the Patriots, even though they lost last night, still 7-2 and the cream of the crop in the AFC East ahead of the Dolphins, Bills, and the Jets. The Bills, by the way, which are linked to Desmond King in at least one early NFL mock draft.
CBS Sports.
CBS Sports has the Bills taking Desmond King with the 19th overall selection in the first round. Dez, who, look, there were some scouts there getting a up close and personal look at Desmond King Saturday night inside Kinnick Stadium. Your thoughts on an as yet to be completed week in the NFL. We still have one game to go tonight. It'll be a big one for some folks for fantasy football purposes. We'll talk with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com on Thursday's edition of the program, Wednesday's edition of the program, I should say, as we take your fantasy questions on the text line and on the phones.
Now, you remember how we were talking Friday on how soon we were going to talk about Marcus Mariota being a part of that top 10 quarterback conversation, but until date, I would still say Aaron Rodgers is the better product, makeup on the field. Mariota throws for 4 touchdowns in a win against Green Bay. Look, I know we waited for a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback to emerge, and we got spoiled because they went back-to-back in the draft 2 years ago, and Jameis Winston still has a lot to prove. I'm going to tell you right now, Marcus Mariota and what he's doing in the National Football League, we're not going to have to wait like a Carson Palmer situation for Palmer to come around and finally start clicking when he's in Oakland and then Arizona give him an opportunity. Listen, this guy is winning in Nashville right now. And for the people out there who thought that maybe the Titans were going to be on a 2-3 year success window before they started competing, I think that that's been elevated to this year. The Texans don't have an answer at quarterback. Andrew Luck doesn't have a defense to try to find a way to match points he puts on the board. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are now talking about benching Blake Bortles. So why not the Tennessee Titans this year as they take care of Green Bay yesterday? When it comes to the Minnesota Vikings defensively, okay, 20 points in the NFL, 26 points in the NFL. Shouldn't the offense be able to match that? I mean, these are still professionals doing what they do best. There's only so many jobs in the world, and you would think the Vikings have some of the best 11 players on one side of the football. You shouldn't let Washington be able to allow Kirk. Let me rephrase. Minnesota's defense can't give Kirk Cousins that much time to make plays late. You're talking about an aging DeSean Jackson. You're talking about Pierre Garçon and some of the other aging wide receivers in the National Football League that are being overpaid by the Washington Redskins. And Cousins is allowed to sit back there and just lead this offense down the field and get them opportunities to not only claim the football at time of possession, but now we're starting to see Sam Bradford. Really what happens when he gets adequate time to be able to control an offense. It's the same Sam Bradford of old. A lot of people in St. Louis would say the same thing, and a lot of people for the few years in Philadelphia would say, look, maybe Sam Bradford just isn't a good quarterback. You have Viking fans already reaching out on the text line saying, look, we knew that next year was our year once Teddy gets healthy. We weren't hearing that 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, Todd. We were being told that the number one pick was worth it. We were being told that bringing Sam Bradford in and winning the division this year was worth it.
It looked like it at the time, but things change. Nobody got a bigger reminder of that and how quickly things can change than Hawkeye fans did this past weekend. That was 1 week. But here with the Vikings, now you're seeing a four-week backslide continue. You talk about Blake Bortles maybe losing his job. Did you ever, at the beginning of the season, think that Colin Kaepernick would be looked upon as a viable option under center for an NFL team? He's actually looked okay. Okay to good the last couple weekends for the 49ers.
They should have pulled that victory off yesterday against Arizona.
13.5-point underdogs.
Aaron Rodgers needs more options offensively. Clay Matthews continuing to nurse injuries defensively. The Vikings need somebody not named Stephon Diggs to catch the football, Kyle Rudolph to catch the football. And if you're the Chicago Bears, they just need a breathing body who actually still cares to play this year in 2016. Detroit, you're up. That contract you handed out to Marvin Jones, an opportunity to have Theo Reddick of all players in the backfield lead this team offensively. Maybe Matt Stafford gets a chance without Calvin Johnson to advance in the playoffs. What say you, NFC North fans? Who actually wins this race? 319-366-1600 at 619. NFL action on the North and South Gym tonight from the Meadowlands. The Bengals, they're looking to build. It just seems since their tie a few weeks ago, the Bengals, they just needed to mentally clear their brain. And getting that opportunity coming up in a matchup against the Giants, there's going to be no Victor Cruz. There are questions to can the secondary hold up with Odell Beckham, who clearly is catching a second win in the second half of the season. I know fantasy owners are very excited about what Beckham's bringing to the table. And if you're the Giants, you got to do what the rest of the teams in the NFC East are doing, and that is the Eagles are going to continue to slip with Carson Wentz going through some of the rookie headaches. Washington is having to scratch and claw and do whatever it takes to keep afloat with a wild card position, with the boys just running away with not only the NFC East, but it seems like they're just weeks away from clinching home field advantage. There's a lot on the line tonight. AFC North is struggling with the Ravens and Steelers. Bengals can get back into it, and the G-men are going to try to stay afloat as well when it comes to the wild card races.
A little bit of baseball news today. The postseason awards getting underway with the handing out of the Rookie of the Year honors. No surprise, at least to me, in the National League, Corey Seager, the Dodgers, getting the nod. And then in the American League, Michael Fulmer of the Detroit Tigers, the AL Rookie of the Year. A lot of people out there thought perhaps Gary Sanchez of the New York Yankees would win that honor. He was called up fairly late in the season, hit the ball absolutely tremendously. I mean, he was torrid over the final 2 months of the season. But Michael Fulmer, what he did for the Detroit Tigers, being honored as the American League Rookie of the Year. So the awards starting to hand out. Manager of the Year? Manager of the Year tomorrow, Cy Young Award on Wednesday, and then the MVPs will be announced on Thursday.
Mr. Baseball, before we head to a big board, I know you're not
That's
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, yeah.
With the emergence of Gary Sanchez, do they find a trade partner for Brian McCann this offseason in New York?
I would certainly think if I'm Brian Cashman, I'm doing everything that I can to move McCann. A little bit of a youth movement underway. The Yankees are at that scary juncture right now where they've got the young guys they called up, the baby bombers, if you will, Aaron Judge. And they're going to get Greg Bird back next year. Gary Sanchez looked good. Tyler Austin. They're also going to have some money to go spend on the open market. They're going to chase Kenley Jansen and Aroldis Chapman to try to bolster the bullpen. They're going to probably make a run at a bat. And if you're a Yankees fan, you've got to keep your fingers crossed and hope that those young players are able to build off a successful first season in the major leagues. Look, I'm a Cubs fan, and Jorge Soler looked fantastic when he first came up to the big leagues three seasons ago. The last 2 years haven't lived up to the hype, so it'll be interesting to see. Now, I know you felt that Sanchez may have had a good case to win Rookie of the Year. I thought you were asking. You constantly asked me about
right,
him.
Right, because I thought there was going to be a chance that the big media market was going to look at his 50-55 game
okay,
stretch
I,
and
I
say,
mistook your interest in
oh,
him
no.
as making the case that he was going to win Rookie
no,
of the Year.
I just thought market number one in America was going to scream loud enough that a guy wearing pinstripes was going to overtake a full season of what Michael Fulmer did behind Justin Verlander in that rotation in Detroit. No, I was completely on the opposite side of it. So this, to me, is good news, and I'm glad to see the writers got it right, which they normally do. I was just afraid that Kerry Sanchez, what do they call him? The Kraken, is that what they call him? The Kraken, the squid, the octopus, whatever the hell they call him.
I'm sure John Sterling has a fantastic home run call for him. He certainly used it enough over the last 2 months of the season. We'll see. There's a lot of baseball. The qualifying offers are going out right now. Several players. Jeremy Hellickson, the Des Moines Hoover star, former Des Moines Hoover star, accepting a $17.2 million qualifying offer from the Philadelphia Phillies today. So he's not going to be going anywhere anytime soon. Not any huge surprises across the rest of the baseball landscape today. Dexter Fowler turning the Cubs offer down. Yoenis Cespedes is officially a free agent. And you take Hellickson off the pitching market, and as strange as this sounds, there's really not a whole lot out there for teams that need starting pitching to go after. You're looking at Ivan Nova being one of the better arms in this free agent class, and speculation is that with Hellickson accepting the qualifying offer, that's not going to do anything to help the current group of arms that are out there. We're talking baseball. We got 30 minutes to go here on the program or so. At the bottom of the hour, in about 4.5-5 minutes, if you're listening to us on 1600 AM, we're going to part ways with you and join up with the Cyclone Radio Network as Iowa State in action tonight at Hilton Coliseum. They're getting ready to take on Mount St. Mary's, the Mountaineers, which just happened to feature the younger brother of Naz Mitru Long. Tip-off at 7 o'clock tonight at Hilton. We will join up bottom of the hour in progress with the pregame. That means if you want to catch the final 30 minutes of the APC and relive the Iowa-Michigan upset, you're going to have to do so on the FM frequency.
Well, tell me where to stop when it comes to available starting pitching in the on the market this offseason. Henderson Alvarez.
I've always been intrigued by him. Anderson's going to get a look from folks.
Andrew Cashner.
Kashner,
John Danks, Ross Detweiler, Felix
DuBrandt. I think you can stop.
Doug Fister, Dylan G, Jason Hamill, Lucas Harrell, Rich Hill,
see,
Derek
guys
Holland.
Like Fister and Hamill are going to get some money.
Tommy Malone.
But there's no marquee. There's no John Lester.
Jake Peavy.
There's not even a John Lackey.
Clayton Richard.
Out there this season for teams that maybe
Jared
think they're one pitcher away. Well, we just got to go get a guy
Edison
for the back
Volquez.
End of the rotation.
C.J. Wilson.
There's nobody out there. So it's a tough spot to be a Major League General Manager if you're looking for starting pitching.
Let's come back. Let's big board. 1600 AM. We'll get you ready for tonight's matchup between Mount St. Mary and Iowa State. It's KGYM.
Back in the 1940s, if you told Willa Dickens that his future customers at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers could customize their engagement rings on something called his website, he would have likely said, "You were full of horse feathers." But, as they say, times change. Now you can visit HertineandStockerJewelers.com to see their exclusive designs from Gabriel & Company, along with beautiful creations from Luminar and Mercury. Customize your ring by selecting the precious metal, mounting, diamond size, and price right there. It's the perfect marriage of contemporary technology and classic service. And if you'd rather do things old school, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, in downtown Iowa City. Then, stop in and say hi to Willa, Derry, Dim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At Junkie Center Point, there are so many reasons why we have faithful customers that come back again and again. We've got a great selection of new and used trucks, but Junkie Center Point is so much more than just a truck store. We feature SUVs, minivans, and cars for the whole family. Plus, our used car inventory is growing every day. Bad credit? We can help. Junkie Center Point deals with many lenders, so you pick it out and we'll work it out. Junkie Center Point, you're only 15 minutes to a better deal.
Tyler Ryder and Todd Brommelkamp host your drive home every Monday through Friday from 4 to 7. It's the APC on KGYM Sports Radio.
.627. Prepare to send you out to Hilton Coliseum, but first, going to get in another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. 107.5, 106.3, and 1600 AM TV.
Well, you beat the number two team in the country, and you're going to get recognized. Three Hawkeyes taking home Player of the Week honors from the Big Ten office today. You had Manny Rigumba, who stepped in and filled in for Greg Maben in the starting lineup as the Freshman of the Week. Jaleel Johnson, your Defensive Player of the Week in the Big Ten. And then, of course, who's the Special Teams Player of the Week? The guy who made the game-winning field goal against the Wolverines, Keith Duncan. Other awards handed out. Akram Wadley, recognized as the Rose Bowl Big Ten Player of the Week. Kickoff time set for 11 a.m. this Saturday at Illinois. Iowa's regular season finale with Nebraska on Black Friday is in the six-day window, meaning they will not have a start time for that until likely next Sunday at the earliest. We will send you to Cyclone Basketball coming up here right now on 1600 AM. Cyclones up to number 20 in this week's Associated Press Top 25. They're taking on Mount St. Mary's tonight. They'll do so without Simeon Carter, the Iowa State big man suspended for three games for violating team rules. Game one tonight against the Mountaineers. The sophomore scored 6 points and had 2 rebounds in 4 minutes during Iowa State's season-opening victory over Savannah State Friday night.
And again, at this time, if you are hearing us on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, perfect. This is where you're going to catch the final 30 minutes of the Afternoon Players Club. At this time, Alex Kuhn helping us out behind the scenes. We leave you on 1600 AM. Enjoy tonight's action between Mount St. Mary's and Iowa State as the newly ranked number 20 Iowa State Cyclones look to improve to 3-0 on the year. We'll see you back here again tomorrow, 1600 AM. 319-366-1600. Again, Ryder and Brommelkamp on the North and South Gem talking Iowa, Michigan, the final 27 minutes and the rest of the way here on your local programming, your Eastern Iowa ESPN radio. Todd, we got football for him tonight once we say goodbye at 7 o'clock.
You know, I got my hopes up there. I just felt like we were bringing the show to a close there just on the one frequency. We're sticking around here on the FMs. We'll have the Giants and Giants-Bengals for you tonight, live from the Meadowlands, coming your way on both 106.3 and 107.5. You're listening to them right now, unless you happen to be online, the KGYM Radio app, or streaming us, kgymradio.com, where you can vote in our poll question. It's rather one-sided today, but it's still a fun one. Who owns the most memorable kick in Hawkeye history? Rob Houtland, Daniel Murray, or Keith Duncan? Rob Houtland is your runaway winner. He has a leg up on the competition, if you will. Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question. You can find Emil's on First Avenue Southeast. Behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot, make sure you stop in and check out some of the new menu items they've rolled out in the last couple months.
You know, it was Saturday night after the Iowa victory, Todd, where Kirk Ferentz made his way into media availability after celebrating the 14-13 victory with his team. Awesome photo that is circulating around the internet of him in the middle of really this group of players still padded up after that contest. And then Todd, when he took to the post game to meet with not only the local but also the national media, things got kind of testy when Kirk Ferentz jumped in front of the microphone.
I wouldn't say testy, but Kirk Ferentz always, he's always got an ear to the ground. He always knows what's being said and written, and especially what's being talked about with regard to his program outside of the Hansen facility there in Iowa City, and he was very much aware that not only was he and the team subject to criticism on the heels of the loss at Penn State, but Greg Davis, once again in the crosshairs among the fan base, and you can tell when Kirk was asked, we have the clip here, this is Kirk Ferentz being asked about Greg Davis, and you can hear it in his voice. We'll let Kirk speak for himself, but he's not too happy with the folks who are out there taking shots at Greg Davis.
You and your offensive coordinator, quite frankly, have taken some criticism.
Hadn't heard much about that, but anyway, yeah, go ahead. It's all right, seriously?
The quarterback draw. Do you feel a little vindication that maybe some of the calls tonight?
I think Greg made a lot of good calls tonight, really did, starting with the touchdown to our left down there. And, you know, we missed the two-point play, but it was there. I mean, it was a really well-conceived play, and we just didn't execute it. But the quarterback draw to finish with, yeah, huge, huge call. Great call, put the ball right in position. And, you know, Greg's a heck of a football coach, a heck of a person. And same thing on that front. I mean, you know, criticism is going to come with anything you do. If you do something, now if you don't do anything, nobody's going to criticize you. But if you try to do something and you fail, I mean, that's going to come with it. And you better just keep doing what you think is best. Not that you don't reevaluate, but you know, you better do what you think's best.
Is Greg Davis this team's offensive coordinator next season? 319-366-1600. Did beating Michigan put enough lipstick on the pig that has been the 2016 season for the Hawkeyes that Kirk Ferentz is going to be able to go into 2017 having not made any significant staff changes? I don't think so. My gut feeling tells me that regardless of how things play out here, that the Greg Davis experiment is over in Iowa City. And let's not get carried away. Iowa beat Michigan 14-13. Two of those points came on a safety in the end zone, and several others on the leg of Keith Duncan. The Iowa offense looked pretty much like the Iowa offense against Michigan, and that's the fact that it bogged down, with the exception of Akram Wadley, who I thought was terrific on Saturday night. And, you know, Akram Wadley, the Rose Bowl selecting him as the Big Ten Player of the Week, and rightfully so. He was good out of the backfield. He was tremendous in the slot. And Michigan really had a hard time wrapping him up and bringing him down. But the offense, Iowa may have won the game 14-13, but it almost did it in spite of the offense. There are still some issues here.
If we're going to look inside this game, and now we're really going to take a peek at it from both the good and the bad outside of the 14-13 victory, this is only one man's opinion. From the very first time he filled in for Jake Rudock in West Lafayette and they beat Purdue to the undefeated season last year, regular season, to now 6-4 through 10 games, I thought this was C.J. Beathard's worst start in her center for the Iowa Hawkeyes. 8-for-19 for only 66 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. I thought that was going to cost this team near the end, and clearly 75% of the watching audience at Coach's Corner believes so as well. And based on some of the text messages we've read today, some of Kinnick Stadium believe that that was going to be the straw that broke the camel's back. This is not being talked about a lot because Iowa does win this game. C.J. Beathard commented and said that he would rather throw for 66 yards and get the win than throw for 400-plus and get the loss. I don't know if this has been the fact that weapons have not been available. Matt Vandenberg, George Kittle. I don't know if they have perhaps maybe taken a liking to the running a little bit more this season. But whether it's been decisions to rush for first downs with his legs, whether it's using more of the field to find open receivers like he did last year, what we're seeing with their eyes and what we saw with their eyes last year during the regular season, Todd, is two different C.J. Beathards, but the play calling is still the same. Beathard, who at 80, 70% with a bad groin, still needing hernia surgery, was taking flight against Indiana and diving for the additional yardage, diving for the pylon to get points before halftime in Bloomington. This year, he takes one or two looks, and then he checks down to Akram Wadley, or he's taken sacks. Remember, he took six in that contest against Northwestern. for the people out there that's calling for Nathan Stanley, and there are still people today that are looking past the 14-13 victory, looking past bowl eligibility and saying this is unacceptable after what happened in the regular season last year, I don't think we've reached that mark yet. But I'm in agreement with Kirk Ferentz that yesterday's game wasn't on Greg Davis. The play calling was there. There was only one particular time, and when you reach this point in time in the season where you start charting every play and asking yourself, why is that so predictable? Or why change the play calling up when you have an opportunity to really run the clock down? There was only one time. It was on the interception when Iowa was so effective running the football, and Beathard, knowing the pressure was coming off his back foot, just heaved it towards the middle of the field, and it was danger all the way. I understand you had to get substantial yardage to keep that play going, but if you're the Hawkeyes, why not? Why on first and second down do you not draw up plays to not put yourself in that predicament in third down where Beathard has struggled all day? Akram Wadley, again, not only leads the way rushing, but when you go and look at receiving when it comes to who is eligible receivers and targets, who leads the way in receiving as well? Akram Wadley. And there were a lot of people at the beginning of the year that were asking me in particular if he was ready to take on that Jordan Kanziri role that 33 left behind last year. And without Akram Wadley, this team probably isn't going to a bowl game this year. Beathard has to improve. There's no question about it. 319-366-1600.
Well, he's out of time. He's got three games left, two in the regular season and then the bowl game. And get ready, once the bowl game rolls around, you're going to have the people who are going to be upset that Beathard is getting the start in the bowl game because they think that Nathan Stanley should be under center so that he gets momentum or whatever, however you want to put it, going into next season, which is ridiculous. Bowl games are as much about the year that just concluded as they are building momentum for the future. Dan from Swisher reaching out on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Don't Ferentz and Davis have a game plan every week? Agreed. The play calling sucks. Great defense this Saturday against Michigan.
The defense won the game against Michigan, but the play calling against Michigan I don't think was that bad. And I'm not trying to defend Greg Davis here. There are some games where you have to ask yourself, why are you drawing up these plays in these situations with this much time remaining when you could have accomplished this in the first three quarters? Now you're having to jumble the clock with how many timeouts you have left, i.e. Northwestern, i.e. Rutgers, North Dakota State. But I don't think the play calling was that bad. The only time that I asked myself, what are you doing with that play? Perhaps maybe there was another play drawn up. Perhaps maybe there was a check down. But it was Beathard who made that last second heave that ended up getting picked off. I thought the play calling was solid for majority of the contest from Greg Davis.
Is anybody out there listening to us right now that wants to cop to leaving Kinnick Stadium after the Beathard interception?
No way. 319-366-1600.
This is like going to church. This is like sitting in the confessional, Father, forgive me, I have sinned. I walked out of Kinnick Stadium after C.J. Beathard threw the interception. Maybe you walked out of Coach's Corner, another
bar. You're not going to get their real names.
366-1600. We're going to give you an opportunity here, final 15, 20 minutes of the program today. Step into the KGYM confessional and confess your sins, and we will absolve you of them for leaving Kinnick early and turning your back on what wound up being one of the better comebacks in Iowa football history. 319-366-1600. It takes a big man to admit when they're wrong, or a big woman. Doesn't matter. Large Marge, whatever. 319-366-1600. Did you leave Kinnick Stadium thinking Beathard threw the interception? This ball game is over. Never mind the fact that Iowa had three timeouts left. Never mind the fact that Jim Harbaugh threw on third down. Pass was incomplete. We had somebody on the text line say, well, that's not as bad of a strategy as you think. They weren't running the ball successfully. I think you still run the ball there, so you force Iowa to take a timeout and burn at least a few more seconds off the clock.
You know I would give you a bell if I could, not on the Hotkeys.
You can say it's not a bad strategy. There's no way in hell Michigan should have thrown the ball there. None. And then the field goal, several plays later, as time expires, you have 10 men on the field before, You take a timeout, you have 10 men on the field after the timeout. Michigan, and I was high on them coming into the game, and they may still have a seat at the table depending on the final 2 weeks of the season play out, but man, oh man, if you're in Ann Arbor today, and I would have loved to have listened to some Ann Arbor sports talk radio, what do you say about Jim Harbaugh after that loss? Nobody wants to admit. I'm looking at the text line. Nobody wants to admit. Ian says, I have never and will never leave an Iowa event early. I keep going back to the Capital One Bowl in 2005, seeing black and gold Iowa fans streaming for the exits. They had the buses, the charter buses, lined up in the parking lot, and I just remember seeing so many Hawkeye fans walking out of that stadium in Orlando with 2-3 minutes left in the game. They wind up missing Drew Tate's connection with Warren Holloway for that 30-25 win. Look, I go to a game, I stay until the very end. I might be pissed off. I might be angry that Iowa lost. Oh, they had it. It was right there. They could have beaten the number two team in the country. I stay in my seat until the game is over, because you never know what you're going to miss if you leave early. And the folks, and I saw them, and you saw folks leaving Coach's Corner. Beathard throws the interception. This ball game is over, to quote Ken Harrelson, who, oddly enough, is up for the Hall of Fame this year, the baseball broadcaster's wing of the Hall of Fame. Always stay until the end, especially when your team has three timeouts. Now, Beathard threw for 66 yards. There is absolutely no reason to believe Iowa is going to get the ball and move it downfield the way that the Hawkeyes did. That quarterback run, very inspired play calling, and then you got to give Keith Duncan credit for coming through in the
11:69. I left what I remember to be the Ball State game a few years ago. I caught the comeback in the Ped Mall at a sushi bar. My roommate left what was a much more impressive comeback this weekend.
Oh, the roommate left.
Mm.
I hope you're going to make him pay somehow for that. Nick in Cedar Rapids, to your point, Michigan lost the game. Iowa didn't win, but we'll still take the W. Look, Iowa won the game. I don't want anybody out there to think that I'm sitting here saying that the Wolverines lost the game. I do question Jim Harbaugh's play call on third down. Yes, it was third and long.
I think anybody should question it.
But Iowa's got, you knew Iowa's got timeouts left. Make them burn one. And instead, incomplete pass, punt. Iowa gets the ball, drives into field goal range. And the rest, as they say, is history. The Hawkeyes now have four wins in a row in Kinnick Stadium over Michigan.
In your opinion, Iowa win this game without the face mask penalty? If we're having a little honesty hour here.
Look, would Michigan have won the game on the without the roughing the center? Who here has seen roughing the center called?
Put your hand down, Coon.
Yeah, Coon, save me the roughing the center. You have to give the guy 1 second. Casey Kreider, Iowa's former long snapper on Twitter, now with the Denver Broncos, tweeted during the game, he's never gotten that call in high school. He never got it in college. He hasn't gotten it in the NFL. He says he thinks Michigan gets that call at least once a week. If Iowa loses the game, that's what we're talking about today.
Kirk Herbstreit was saying, Todd, was, no, that's in the books. It gets called. It gets called.
It is a real rule, but I've never seen it called. If Iowa had lost that game, we would have spent 3 hours today in no particular order circling back around the following topics: Kirk Ferentz's contract extension, Greg Davis, and roughing the center. Instead, thank you, football Jesus, the Hawkeyes win the game 14-13, and all anybody is talking about is how great of a win it was. 319-366-1600 on the Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line. Do you believe it was the roommate that left the game early? You think this guy's covering for himself?
What do you think, Don? If this dog can sniff, this dog can hunt, too. You're on to something. Okay, Michigan throwing the ball on third down. I think I'm okay if it's a 10- or 15-yard pass to get the first down, a 30-yard pass or whatever. It makes absolutely no sense.
And that's why that's Harbaugh being Harbaugh, he went for the jugular. He was trying to hit the home run.
Yep.
When he was Javi Baez. He was trying to hit the home run when all you needed to do was shorten up your swing and put a single into the outfield to score the run. But nope, he had to swing for the fences. He had to be the hero. And it wound up, I wish I would have been able to be in the room with Jim Harbaugh after the game was over. I have never in my life seen the visiting coaches' press room where they do the post-game interviews as crowded as it was. You had a lot of national writers there. Michigan has a tremendous press coverage, presence. You could not even get in the door. There was no room to move. And Harbaugh is not exactly the loudest talker, especially when your team loses 14-13. I poked my head in the back and couldn't hear what he was saying. I wound up having to read the transcript earlier. Lots of short answers, lots of, I won't say hemming and hawing, but Jim Harbaugh was an extremely confident guy coming into Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. He left just a little bit humbled, in my opinion.
Wilton Spate, real quick. I think they can get past Indiana 2 weeks from now in Columbus. Is this Penn State that's going to the Big Ten championship game? Because I don't know if they can slow
for
down
listeners who
Ohio
just joined
State.
The, for listeners who just joined the program, explain to them
Wilton
why
Spate,
you're mentioning.
I beg your pardon, Wilton Spate in the contest against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Left Kinnick Stadium and now has been diagnosed with a broken collarbone that will force him out for the remainder of the year.
Is it John? What's his first name? The last name is O'Corn. That's who Michigan's moving
John O'Corn
forward.
And John, Shane Morris.
John O'Corn and Shane Morris.
Where do we remember Shane Morris from?
The concussion game.
The Brady Hoke
concussion game. I still think Michigan's a good football team. I still think they're going to go toe-to-toe with Ohio State in 2 weeks. That game is in Columbus, by the way, so I think the Buckeyes definitely have the advantage there. Taking a look on Twitter, Matt says, agree with people leaving. Agree with people leaving Saturday, but no one left the Capital One Bowl early. I was there, and we were winning with 2 to 3 minutes left. Matt, so was I. People left. I saw it with my own eyes. People left the Capital One Bowl early, and a lot of them were wearing black and gold. In fairness, a lot of LSU fans were heading for the exits, too, because it didn't seem like Iowa was going to come back. I was at that game, and I would swear on my life and the life of all those around me. Sorry, Alex. Sorry, Tyler. Hopefully you have good life insurance.
It is what it is.
People were leaving that game early. Maybe not in your section, but that's sort of like somebody saying, I can't believe Hillary lost. Everybody I know voted for her. Well, just because in your circle doesn't necessarily mean that's the way things happened elsewhere. I know people personally who were there who left that game. You're always kicking yourself. You're always kicking yourself going, man, I wish I would. Have you ever been
negative? I know what you're about to ask.
Have you ever been kicked in the ass? Have you ever left a game and then?
Oh, no, that, no. I would rather sit in traffic for an additional 90 minutes compared to the adrenaline rush and the feel of missing a moment and being able to relive it.
The I'm going to beat traffic is the biggest myth, is it not? Because you still have
get to the pisser early.
You still have to get to your car, and you still have to get out of the parking ramp or whatever, and then unless you're the absolute first person to leave the stadium, there are hundreds, if not thousands,
people
of people who are thinking exactly like you.
Some people hate standing in the aisle and having to climb the stairs. There's always some person out there who says, well, I can get to the escalator faster. I can get to the elevator. I have to avoid the line of people who want whatever. Or maybe they're just so disgusted that they paid the amount of money they did for the seat that they were in that, you know. I've never left a contest. And this is 100% honest. I was cool enough to have parents that let me soak in every single ounce and every single minute of the sporting event I was at, and they were always cool. I don't know what it is. Circuses growing up as a kid, we stayed till the final elephant left the rooftop and left the ring top or whatever.
Speaking of the circus, the little NHL, the Blackhawks are starting their annual circus trip. They haven't had a losing circus trip since 2006, and they're actually playing some very good hockey right now. I know NHL and hockey guy on the text line probably upset that we haven't talked very much hockey this year. Well, we can't really do it locally because they lost both games over the weekend, didn't they? The Rough Riders were in Chicago and Muskegon, and they're still looking for their first win of the season.
Both games were a 4-2 final.
I want to say November 23rd. They're still not back at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena for a while.
But November 23rd, they welcome in the best team in the league in the Chicago Steel.
Party! The Steel, who just beat them 4-2. Will they still be looking for their first win? The Riders they've made like 5, 6, 7 trades, I think, in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
They've had some bad boys
on
their team.
It's been fascinating to watch.
Mark Carlson wants them out of there.
It's been fascinating to watch. So there's a little hockey talk for you there in amongst the sea.
45 good seconds.
45 strong seconds of hockey talk amidst the sea of Iowa-Michigan talk.
Can we reset, come back big board, and get out of here?
Please.
107.5 and 106.3. Tyler and Todd, we say goodbye next.
And I'm Jerry Rice saying so long from San Francisco.
Thank goodness. Oh. These overtime games are just killing my back.
You should try the patch.
The patch?
The Tiger Balm patch. It's a blend of essential oils that goes deep into aching muscles and joints for fast, soothing pain relief. I go for Tiger Balm after every game.
What every armchair quarterback needs, proven pain relief.
And a good wide receiver.
You don't know any, do you?
Roar back from pain with Tiger Balm. It works where it hurts.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Who says cars have to act their age? Whether your car needs maintenance, repairs, or new tires, now is the perfect time to cross off the things on your car's to-do list. Head to Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Firestone Complete Auto Care. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid November 17th through 20th on any purchase. Most vehicles, in-store installation required. Maximum savings $100. $50 minimum purchase required for tiered offers. See store or driveafirestone.com for full details.
It's the Light Up the Holidays event at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Join us from November 16th through the 20th and enjoy our best prices of the season. Jared is offering spectacular savings throughout the store, plus a selection of exclusive pieces you won't find anywhere else. Don't miss your chance to light up the holidays November 16th through the 20th. For the one gift she'll always love, that's why he went to Jared. Pandora, Tag Heuer, and select Movado watches excluded. Other product exclusions may apply. See Jared.com for details.
He gives all his girlfriends 2-week notices before letting them go.
Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Tyler Ryder and the APC on KGYM.
6:55. Alex Kuhn leading the way here in Studio A. Ryder and Brommel Camp about to hand you off to Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football from the Meadowlands. Your chance to hear from Larry Fitzgerald, Tom Brady, and hear the Bengals and the Giants. No.
Get you out of here. Thank you, Jim Gray. Get you out of here on a Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
Hey, JYM.
The three Iowa football players were honored by the Big Ten this week. That's what happens when you knock off the number 2 team in the country. Manny Rugumba, the freshman of the week. He had a big interception for the Hawkeyes Saturday night in their 14-13 win over the Wolverines. Jaleel Johnson was the Big Ten's defensive player of the week. And then, no surprise here, but special teams player of the week in the conference, Iowa kicker Keith Duncan. Kickoff time has been set for this weekend's game at Illinois for the Hawkeyes. They'll start at 11 a.m. The regular season finale with Nebraska is going to be in that 6-day television window, which means Hawkeye fans won't have a start time for Black Friday until likely this Sunday. Iowa State is in action tonight. The number 20 Cyclones in this week's Associated Press Top 25 poll take on Mount St. Mary's. The pregame is ongoing right now on 1600 AM. Eli Long, he's a star for the Mountaineers of Mount St. Mary's, if that name sounds familiar, at least the last name. Well, he's the younger brother of Naz Mitru Long.
And Iowa women's basketball player Megan Gustafson is the Big Ten Player of the Week as well. The sophomore posted back-to-back double-doubles in season-opening weekend wins over Oral Roberts and Hampton.
Who we got tomorrow, Todd?
Coming up tomorrow, we've got Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com. We'll talk a little national college football. And Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette's going to stop by as well. Monday coming to an end. One last time, big thank you to Jungi Center Point, where you're just 15 minutes to a better deal, our Monday sponsor here on the program.
All right, we leave you now and send you out to Jersey, the Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium, Big Blue, the New York Giants. They're going to be taking on Marvin Lewis and the Cincinnati Bengals, looking to get back into the AFC North Division battle. For Alex Kuhn, Todd Brommelkamp, my name is Tyler Ryder. This has been a presentation of KGYM Sports. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
At Jared, we turn feelings into jewelry. Jewelry that speaks for you in a way that goes beyond words. Like the watch that tells him so much more than just the time.